The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome and good morning to everyone who's joining us here in person, and a big welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are all here together. This is the third Sunday of Easter, and together through word and sacrament, and through the journey of each other, we will experience God today. And before we begin, a few quick announcements. Council has currently met, and in light of the knowledge that we have of certain local outbreaks in some COVID in some congregations, we are going to just take a little bit of a step back on our mask policy and require that our worship leaders wear a mask, and to remind everyone gathered that it is our recommendation that while singing, you wear a mask. We're trying to walk that balance between safety and openness, but especially if while we're singing, if we can be masked, that is our recommendation. And then two sad notes today before we begin. One is that we have received word in our church office that Reg Greenwood passed away in December. Reg was a member of our congregation and lived just on the other side of the street, I'm told. His family has been contacted the office. They have sold that house, and we do not have a current Oregon address. So if members do wish to send a card to the family, the best advice we could give you is to date that card to the last known address in hopes that the mail gets forwarded. And then this Sunday is also going to be a little bit sad, as we are going to say goodbye to Betty Harmon as she is going to be moving to Texas. And so we will have some moments in our bulletin to remember that and to celebrate her presence and her life amidst our community. And with that being said, there's just a slight tweak in the bulletin. We have her sending in the bulletin, it's printed sermon, sending hymn of the day. That's a little reverse. It'll go sermon, hymn of the day, then the sending. I hope that's not too much. But let us now, with all that, take a deep breath, prepare our hearts for worship, and let us begin with the words in our bulletin. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Stories that they bring, some are
the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hands we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. So let us pray. Holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. The baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean. Quench our thirst and nurture both crop and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving waters of baptism, the outpouring of the spirits of new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's needs through this water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reign forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole earth, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength, and honor and blessing and glory.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now I'd like to invite our children forward for a children's message. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
How's Charlie? Well, our gospel message today ask the question on how we see. How do we see God? And it's kind of a puzzle how we see God sometimes. Did you guys ever play with puzzles? Mm-hmm. Do you like puzzles? You do? I never liked puzzles when I was a kid. It's kind of boring, but I'm glad to hear you like puzzles. I have a picture of a puzzle here for you to illustrate this point, and I want you to tell me what the image is of.
An elephant.
You see an elephant. Could be. Did anyone else see someone else?
It's an elephant.
Definitely an elephant they see. I don't know if the people can hear it in the back. We have some professional puzzle people here because our next part of the puzzle has more of the puzzle. What do you see now?
An elephant.
Do you see anything other than an elephant?
No.
So there's definitely nothing but an elephant here. Correct?
Correct.
Well, now is the third piece of our puzzle completed. Mm-hmm. What do you see now? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different, there's the elephant. Did you see the gorilla?
Yeah, I see the gorilla.
The horse, the dog, the cat. Do you see anything else? The mouse, yep. So once the whole puzzle is together, we see a different picture. And Jesus is, our story today is about that, because we're going to have another puzzle here today about what we do in church. Now, what is this picture of?
Singing.
Could be singing. A bunch of people together, right?
Standing.
They're standing, yeah. A group together, an assembly, like the church. We're all together. You see anything else? No.
I see a weird thing.
A weird thing on the side. Fair enough. This is all our puzzle here. So we'll put that piece here. Well, we'll do it this way. We'll do it differently. So what do you see here in this picture?
A person in a box.
A person in the box, yes.
And there's
it's
a Bible.
In the Bible.
It's
in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Yes.
And then there's another weird thing on the side.
And another weird thing on the side. So yes, this box is our lectern, and it represents someone talking to us about the Bible. What do you see in this puzzle piece?
The table.
The table and what it looks like the baptismal font. You have to excuse that I'm not a good artist. And then our final piece of the puzzle.
More stuff in the bread.
More stuff, yeah. Our cup and our bread.
But there's stuff in the corner.
And more stuff in the corner. But we can't tell what that corner is.
Until we put it up there.
But when it's all together, it looks like this. And we see who Jesus is. And we need to see all of this.
But
we need each other.
But there's not the elephant.
This, not the elephant, yes. No elephant in this picture. So, well, that's the resurrected tomb there. See the tomb, it's the stone that's been rolled away and the light of God coming out. And when we're together and when we're gathered around the Bible and we have our meal and we have our washings, we can see Christ and we can see God. And that is the puzzle piece we all need in order to see and know who God is. So let us pray together. On the count of three, we bring our hands together. One, two, three. You repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for
showing us Christ.
Thank you for showing us Christ.
In the presence of each other.
In the presence of each other.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you can be excused. Oh, don't forget Charlie's foot. Shoot.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul.
Our first reading this third Sunday of Easter is written in Acts chapter 2. Now hear the word. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today will be sung. It's on page 6, Psalm 16. I'll begin with the light print. Please respond by singing the dark print. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you save my life.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you
fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, hallelujah.
Our second reading is written in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now hear the word. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus had appeared to Mary and Magdalene. Two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other about?" And they stood looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and the leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to rescue Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then to enter his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And as they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead, as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. There's a saying in preaching circles, and it goes something like this, that if you cannot preach this text, then you should go find a more lucrative career. Because on one side, it's such a straightforward narrative of what we call enacted meaning. And every Sunday, we enact the meaning of this text. And on the other hand, there's such a deep richness to this text that I could speak for hours on it. And the real danger is saying, having too much to say. But I won't do that. I will keep my words short. But one thing that I keep saying, and I continue to say, and you will get tired of me saying, is that these texts are not written about events in the past, but are written about us. And this text today is not really about Cleopas and his companion on the road to a town called Emmaus. But it's really about the gathered community of the church together and what it means to be together and to journey together. And our author tells us this with one slight detail. There are two people on this road. One is called Cleopas. The other disciple is not named. And this isn't because Luke didn't know who this second person is. Luke knows who he is. But the name is left out for one and only one reason. Because you are that other person. You are that other disciple on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas. Or I should more accurately say, we are that other person. Because this is the story of the community's encounter, and we are on this journey after the resurrection. This is, in our text, Easter Sunday. Cleopas and his friend are not attending the Easter brunches. They are on the road to Emmaus. And this is a fitting story for us about a journey together, because in just a week, we're going to have that big celebration, and we will be on a new journey, a continuing journey. And so let's just reflect today on what this journey is going to look like, because we are on this road to Emmaus. And one thing that our text is clear about, and one thing we can all respond to in our own private journeys, individually and together, is that life doesn't work out the way we thought it would. The Christian journey, we read about, and then we experience it, and we experience fear, we experience doubt, we lose friends. The triumphant Sunday hymns seem distant on Monday, and the expectation of what we think being a Christian is all about doesn't necessarily equal in that journey. And so Cleophas says it today. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. He had hoped. They are disappointed now. It hasn't turned out how they wanted it. And I don't know how this journey is going to end out. Probably nowhere near how any of us expected. But then a stranger comes along in the midst. And that stranger is Jesus. Amidst this community, but they don't yet recognize Jesus. But as they travel and as we journey together, we will continually come back to this thing called Scripture, because it is our story in which we find ourselves on this journey post-resurrection, the moment we find ourselves in. And we will be caught up in this great drama of God's unfolding redemption for the world. This plan which reads through Jesus at Christmas, to Easter, and then to Pentecost. This is the world we live in, where God's Spirit is being outpoured for the reconciliation of all things. And then, as we realize our place in the story, and our hearts are burning with the love of God and the gifts of grace, we come to this table. And we declare that in this breaking of bread, Jesus is with us in our midst. And then we realize that all through those moments of doubt, of fear, when expectations aren't met, that God and Jesus have been with us that entire time. And it's in this breaking of bread where we say that Christ is present in with and under the elements, that the great mystery really works out. Because it's not that just salvation and forgiveness of sins and God's presence is at this table. It is. But the deeper mystery is that we then take that presence, that gift of salvation and forgiveness, the presence of Jesus with us, and then we consume it And that presence is the sign and symbol that now God is in us, in you, with, in, and for you, in this community. And the presence of Christ is now everywhere for us to behold. And our eyes are open. And there's only one other place in Scripture where after a meal, eyes are open. And that is in the first meal in Scripture. When Adam and Eve, their eyes are opened to know that they are now separated, estranged from God. And there is guilt and there is shame. And now we come to this other meal and our eyes are opened that now there is no longer separation. There is no longer anything that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, who lived and died and rose again for you. So this is a meal of new creation. So welcome, my friends, to this journey. Welcome to the table of God's unfolding redemption for us all. And as we journey, and as we hear God's word, and we come to this table, we will always know that God is forever in our midst, forever with us. Amen. Kitchen, bulletins, and you were also a service member. And so thank you for that. And I hear that Eternal Father, Strong to Save, is one of your favorite hymns. And now when we sing that, we will remember you in this community. And we know that as you go, you will take part of us with you, and part of you is staying with us. And so we all wish to send you off with a Godspeed, and we have a reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who created you, who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through faith, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you a member of his church. When you came to this congregation, they rejoiced to welcome you. They took you into the mission, and you had a share with this community. In this community, you have come to know and share in God's loving purpose for you and for all creation. And God has blessed you in this community and blessed this community by you. And before you go, we'd like to extend two prayer shawls so you will always remember one for you and for Mariah. And so I ask now, don't get them yet. Everyone, extend wherever you're sitting and extend your hand in a prayer and a blessing. And let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we you to bless Betty and her family as they depart on this new adventure. Bless these prayer shawls that as they wear them and wrap themselves in it, they may remember the love of this community. May you guard them, keep them safe. May you bless their journeys. Amen.
Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As we know you in the breaking of bread, we know you in the grains of the fields and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are disregarded or oppressed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day, especially Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Barry, Penelope, Twyla, Karen, Meredith and family, the family of Harvey Dufresne, the family of Reg Greenwood, victims of the war in Ukraine, victims of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and the people of Furlong Lutheran Church in Springfield. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized by gender or sexuality and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints. As you have raised them to eternal life, abide with us in your promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And we can stand as we prepare for this meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Be lifted to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses, the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace. Receive the forgiveness of sins and be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all the saints. To you, O God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together by the Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. In a moment, our usher will come forward and we ask you to form a single line and come forward with your hand up in the other to receive the element in your hand, and then he will come and pick which element of wine you wish. The darker liquid is wine, and the lighter liquid is grape juice. But know that all are welcome to this table. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, come with your arms crossed. But know that you are invited to come, for in this moment we, our eyes are open to see that Christ is in our midst.
Lord of hearts and human kind.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. And now I'd like to take a moment to pause for announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of the order? And you've got one on the top.
Hi, this is Tammy, and I want to remind you that we are going to have a choir practice about 15 minutes after service is finished for those that would like to take part in the anthem during ordination.
And we would like to take this time to remind you all that on Saturday, at 1 p.m. here, please be invited to join us for this marvelous celebration of this community and the community life, and we will have lots and lots of food, so come hungry, come for the service, stay for the food, and then join us on the 30th that Sunday as well, because we have some other unveilings to announce and do. So the 30th will be that Sunday after Saturday, we'll have a big Sunday too. So big, however, that we're not going to have adult forum on Sunday. So next, I forgot to announce this. For all those who are, we do have adult forum at 9 o'clock, and it's a very great time of discussion of our text. So all are invited. If you want to go a little bit deeper into the text, come Sunday morning at 9. I know it's early, but it really is a great, I think, discussion time. So great, though, that we're not going to have it next week, though. But then after that, 9 o'clock. Are there any announcements for the good of the order? And I'm seeing none. So let us prepare our hearts for this benediction and sending. The God of all, who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the new creation.